the first time I heard the main theme to the movie, The Mission, I was very little. My dad had the cassette tape version of this soundtrack. And so the sounds of the oboe frequently drifted through our Astro van. The music was transportive. One of the most beautiful things I remember hearing as a child. And to this day, I can feel the shift in myself, a turn that comes when we encounter something of astonishing depth and grace when I hear this theme from The Mission. I hope sometime you'll give yourself some space to sit with the whole piece of music. And the version that I showed you, you actually get to see the composer, Ennio Morricone, directing. Our world is chocked filled with beautiful things. I have seen them and heard them and tasted them. I've seen the saguaro cactus of Arizona, like this desert filled with alien ballerinas. I've heard the sound of a baby learning how to laugh. I've smelled Oregon roses in the brilliant and clear month of August. And have you seen giraffes? When I was an exchange student in rural Kenya, I would run each morning down this dusty path that was carved out by the university bus, a wobbling line through the speckled savanna. Every morning was about the same, humming with stillness and silence and emptiness, except for one morning. A few miles down the road, two giraffes were making their way down the plain, and they were coming towards me. Suddenly, spooked by the strange and potentially dangerous animal that was me, they took off. And it was one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen. And so we need to take a moment here to just watch a giraffe run, run for just a minute, if you'll indulge me. Giraffes run like their muscles are filled with water. They sort of glide through space like they're rippling across the ground. And on this day that I will never forget, we were running together. It would be strange if after these memories of beautiful creatures and moments and movements in nature, you were to say, but what did you get out of it? What did this thing actually do for you? Because the answer is, well, nothing. I'm sure it benefits a giraffe to run in this particular way, but it provides nothing that I observe its movements as lovely. Ennio Morricone's music has not made me a faster worker or more compassionate, certainly has not made me a better musician myself. Baby laughter may serve some evolutionary benefit for babies, but it really doesn't do anything for me that their laughter is enjoyable. That's because beauty is its own end. Things are beautiful for the sake of being beautiful, which is another way to say that they're unnecessary. Every beautiful thing we see or taste or hear is beyond the basics of human needs. It is excess for enjoyment, for pleasure, for goodness. And the beauty, this beauty, is the work of the Holy Spirit in creation. To perceive the goodness of the world, that is the work of the Spirit. The theologian Eugene Rogers sort of put these pieces together. If beauty isn't necessary, is the Holy Spirit also unnecessary? Could we get along without her? And the answer seems to be yes. You can get along without the taste of mint tea or a Jacob Lawrence painting or Ryan Robinson's voice singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. These are non-functional things. They are unnecessary. And that's what makes them all the more important. They are gratuitous. And the whole point of grace, after all, writes Robinson, is its gratuity, its non-necessity. And I think that's something we want to keep in mind as we gather here at Mount Tabor with Peter, James, and John while Jesus bursts into white light. They're his Jesus. And his garments became very shiny, white as snow, brighter and cleaner than a professional wool cleaner could ever dream. That's my unauthorized personal Greek translation, not to be found in a real Bible. And then Elijah and Moses show up, chatting with our glimmering Lord and Savior. What Peter says next, as he marvels at this scene, describes its purpose. It is good for us to be here. I suspect that as astute first century Greek readers, we would have noticed that that word good, it's good for us to be here, has the same root as beautiful. For precious and excellent and handsome. Something here is beautiful. Something here is lovely. Now, there are plenty of reasons, many sermons to be preached about the significance of this moment in the gospel. Elijah and Moses' presence confirms for us that Jesus is in concert with the law and the prophets. In the story, we hear God's voice for only the second time in Mark, though only twice in the whole gospel, for that matter. It is says the same thing. This is my son, my beloved. The story certainly plays a role in the overall narrative of Mark. But why Jesus is beautiful to behold, so striking to Peter that he can only gasp, "This is good." That's something else in this story. Perhaps this is also a disruption for us, for any sort of rut that we've gotten into here in the book of Mark, thinking that God is primarily about demands and fortitude. Times in our faith where we think that it's really about getting our act together and giving it all that we've got. Those things certainly happen in the gospel too. But the transfiguration is a reminder to us that all of this happens in the service of a good life, is an invitation to us to a life that is more than simulations of joy that are excess and greed and pride. We are being invited into God's life. And God gives desire and rewards with enjoyment. God does this because God is pleasant and desirable and full of enjoyment. God loves us as the one who is worthy of God's love. That's what we mean when we say God is beautiful. And this is a Sunday where we sit with that truth. The word transfigure in the transfiguration, it actually means to change an outward appearance. Jesus isn't transformed in his nature. Jesus doesn't get a new superpower out of this. He isn't zapped with some kind of special strength for the journey ahead. Instead, we see him in a different way, as we had not before. We see that God is beautiful. And because God is beautiful, creation is beautiful. People and planets, creatures of all kind, art and music, because creation comes along as it is through a beautiful God. So one of the things that we hear in the Transfiguration is an answer to this first question of the Westminster Catechism. Does anybody know this? Did you grow up learning this in any of your traditions? The question is, what is the chief end of man? Or as we would say today, people. Does anybody know what the answer is?
Glorify God and enjoy him forever.
That's right. To glorify God and to enjoy God forever. That is human purpose. That is what you were made for. Our purpose, as we sit here with Peter on Mount Tabor, is to notice the beauty, to love the world and to enjoy it. And as we listen to Peter combine this with fear, we hear in this the word awful, that it's something is filled with awe, so filled with awe that it knocks us off of our sort of steadiness about how we think the world ought to be. This is a truly awful moment. And when this happens, we are participating in our eternal life. We are experiencing the thing that we're made for. Rowan Williams would call this non-functional joy. Non-functional joy. And that sort of brings us back to this unnecessity of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit allows God to take time for people. At Transfiguration, the Spirit descends and she makes time for Peter, James, and John to linger in this moment of beauty. And it's Peter who actually rightly senses this chief end, this purpose. Oh, we should build some shelters here. We should stay here longer. This is the place we belong. That impulse is completely correct. The power of sin and death in our world is that it turns enjoyment and pleasure into competition and excess. If you've ever watched the series Mad Men, you may remember this famous line from the advertising executive Don Draper. Happiness is the moment before you need more happiness. That's what sells. That is what keeps our economy going. But here before Jesus, charged more intensely with light, the Holy Spirit rests on Jesus in this lovely non-necessity. And we are invited to joy. We are invited to linger here with God, who makes room for us through the Holy Spirit, who makes room for us to linger on what is beautiful in our world. And we are invited into the excess and never enoughness that we call grace. Amen.